Hey, good morning and welcome to LifePoint Church. My name is Mike Burnett and I get to serve as a lead pastor here. I want to especially welcome everybody who is joining us for the very first time. Thank you so much for being a part of our final week in our At the Movies series. Now, this is a series that uses modern stories, particularly movies, to tell eternal truths. Jesus was a master storyteller, and he always had a way of connecting the dots between contemporary illustrations and eternal realities that can change our lives. I feel the same way about many modern movies. We find traces, even more than just traces, of Christian truths that have managed to assert themselves throughout the scenes of these storylines of our favorite films. We may not initially notice them, but they're always there. Now, to people who are familiar with the message of the Bible, it's really easy to find biblical themes and symbolism all over our favorite movies, even in movies that are not themselves branded as Christian films. And today we're going to be looking at one of those films, one of the classic American films, Forrest Gump. Winner of six Academy Awards in 1995, including Best Actor, Best Director, and Best Film, I think this has become one of the modern classics of our generation. Pastor Randy says it has an amazing soundtrack, but that's because he's old. Even 25 years after that film came out, we still recognize its impact on pop culture. All of us have probably used the line, "Run, Forrest, run." Or we've said things like, "Life is like a box of chocolates." I hope you really like my Forrest Gump impression, by the way. We've said things like, "Mama always said," and even Bubba Gump Shrimp is a restaurant named after this movie. I still can't say the name Jenny without wanting to say it in my Forrest Gump accent. Anyway, this story touches us with its down-to-earth retelling of a gentle soul who perseveres through life's many difficulties with simple understanding of life and this constant, unwavering love for his family, his friends, and a real passion for life. There's a theme that runs throughout the entire film and something I want us to look at as we begin. By simply listening to his mama and accepting people as they are, Forrest makes a major difference in this really crazy world. Throughout the film, we discover that his simple actions and willingness to jump in and always do his best, he actually gets to help write some of the history of America while also rewriting in very practical ways history for his friends. From our very first introduction of Forrest, we can tell right away that the main character, Forrest Gump, he's not like the rest of us. He's strange, he's got weird accent, his clothes are outdated, his social etiquettes are a little backward, his folksy observations, childlike demeanor, even his haircut, his love for chocolate, he's just different. He doesn't fit in. By the end of the movie, though, we see that his being different actually helps him make a difference in the lives of everyone he comes in contact with. So what makes him different? First of all, he listens to wise counsel. He listens to his mama. I mean, this whole montage of the opening scene of the movie is where we start to see that so much of Forrest's interactions with others and the way he treats people is built off this idea of what his mama used to tell him.
Hello. My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Those must be comfortable shoes. I bet you could walk all day in shoes like that and not feel a thing. I wish I had shoes like that.
My feet hurt.
Mom always said there's an awful lot you could tell about a person by their shoes. Where they going? Where they been?
You do your very best now, Forrest.
I sure will, Mama.
I remember the bus ride on the first day of school very well.
Are you coming along?
Mama said not to be taking rides from strangers.
This is a bus to school.
cars, Forrest Gump.
And Dorothy Harry.
Well, now we ain't strangers anymore.
Are you stupid or something?
Mama's as stupid does.
Now, my mom always told me that miracles happen every day. Some people don't think so, but they do.
What are y'all staring at? Haven't you ever seen a little boy with braces on his legs before? Don't ever let anybody tell you they're better than you, Forrest. If God intended everybody to be the same, he'd have given us all braces on our legs.
Mom always had a way of explaining things so I could understand them.
Now, Mama said there's only so much fortune a man really needs, and the rest is just for showing off. So I gave a whole bunch of it to the Four Square Gospel Church, and I gave a whole bunch to the Bayou La Batre Fishing Hospital. And even though Bubba was dead and Lieutenant Dan said I was nuts, I gave Bubba's mama Bubba Shea.
You know what?
She didn't have to work in nobody's kitchen no more.
Don't you be afraid, sweetheart. Death is just a part of life. Something we're all destined to do. I didn't know it, but I was destined to be your mama. I did the best I could.
You did good, Mom.
Well, I happen to believe you make your own destiny. You have to do the best with what God gave you.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're gonna have to figure that out for yourself. Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Mama always had a way of explaining things so I could understand them.
I will miss you, Forrest.
Just like Forrest listens to someone who knows much more than he does, his mom, our journey as Christ followers includes learning to listen to voices much wiser than ourselves, especially the wise voice of Jesus, the leading of the Holy Spirit, God's truthful voice contained in the Scripture. The reality is we all need help. It's a deception to think that we're capable of doing this life on our own. We need help, and we are often blinded by selfishness, fleshly appetites, internal biases. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to counsel, accept discipline, so that you may be wise the rest of your days." Pastor Randy was teaching a class of Bible students once, and he asked them, "How many of you know what your blind spots are?" Several of them raised their hands. Then he admits to them that it was a bit of a trick question, because if we really know what our blind spots are, they're not blind spots anymore, right? The definition of a blind spot is to not know that we have it. We're blind to it. We don't know what we don't know. Now, even though Forrest was intellectually challenged, he was wise enough to trust his mother's advice. He embraced the sensible perspective of an outside source, someone he could trust, his mom. Because he internalized his mom's advice, every time difficult situations arose, the truths that he learned from her would inform his behavior. This is why we do life with others. This is why we go to church. This is why we let God speak to us through our pastor or our life group leaders, and why we look into having spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise." Here's one of the most hopeful verses of Scripture, in my opinion. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of us lack wisdom, ask God directly, who gives generously to all of us without holding back, and that wisdom will be given to us." Now, we find out pretty early on in the film that Forrest isn't average. He doesn't have average intellect. We see as the movie progresses, however, that Forrest gets the wisdom that he needs. He embraces truth given to him by his mom, and that will be what enables him to love deeply, to act heroically, to make a difference in all circumstances and for all the people that he comes in contact with. Now, there's a theological point that I want to make here for you. Wisdom is knowing that we may not have all the answers, but it's also understanding that somebody greater than us does. Sometimes it's your mom. Sometimes it's your small group leader. Sometimes it's your platoon leader or your pastor or life group leader. And of course, we know that God always knows. His word will be our greatest guide, and we can trust that. Second thing I want to highlight in this film is that our lives can actually make a difference. Now, over and over again, we see Forrest finding himself in a variety of crazy situations where his childlike presence ends up influencing quite a bit of our national history, right? Forrest is not judgmental, he's not intolerant, he's never inconvenienced or put out with others in their time of need, nor does he have ulterior motives. He stays on mission, he's always ready to make a difference. Even though he's not necessarily intellectually sophisticated, he's unapologetically being himself to everyone he comes in contact with.
One time, a young man was staying with us, and he had him a guitar case.
Forrest, I told you not to bother this nice young man.
Oh, no, that's all right, ma'am. I was just showing him a thing or two on the guitar here.
All right, but your supper's ready if y'all want to eat.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you, ma'am. Say, man, show me that crazy little walk you just did there. Slow it down some.
You ain't nothing but a...
I like that guitar. It sounded good. I started moving around to the music, swinging my hips. This one night, me and Mama was out shopping, and we walked right by Benson's Furniture and Appliance Store. And guess what?
You ain't nothing but a...
Some years later, that handsome young man who they called the King, well, he'd sung too many songs, had himself a heart attack or something.
Shortly after Governor Wallace had carried out his promise to block the doorway, President Kennedy ordered the Secretary of Defense then to use military force. Here by videotape is the encounter by General Graham, Commander of the National Guard, and Governor Wallace.
Because these National Guardsmen who are here today as federal soldiers, Alabama, and they live within our borders. They are our brothers. We are winning in this fight because we are awakening the American people to the dangers that we have spoken about so many times, which is so evident today, the trend toward military dictatorship in this country.
So at day's end, the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa had been desegregated, and students Jimmy Hood and Vivian Malone had been signed up for summer classes.
Ma'am, you dropped your book. Ma'am.
Governor Wallace did what he promised to do by being on the Tuscaloosa campus and kept the mob from gathering and
preventing violence. Wasn't that Gump?
Forrest Gump, John Lennon.
Welcome home.
Had quite a trip. Can you tell us... What was China like?
In the land of China, people hardly got nothing at all.
No possessions?
And in China, they never go to church.
No religion, too?
Oh. Hard to imagine.
Well, it's easy if you try, Dick.
Some years later, that nice young man from England was on his way home to see his little boy and was signing some autographs for no particular reason at all. Somebody shot him.
So are you enjoying yourself in our nation's capital, young man?
Yes, sir. Well, where are you staying?
It's called the Hotel Ebbot.
Oh, no. I know of a much nicer hotel. It's brand new, very modern. I'll have my people take care of it for you.
Yeah, sir. You might want to send a maintenance man over to that office across the way. The lights are off and they must be looking for a fuse box or something because them flashlights, they're keeping me awake.
Okay, sir, I'll check it out.
Thank you.
No problem.
Good night.
Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
I love that Forrest had an optimistic and available attitude all the time. He was never inconvenienced, and when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that same attitude. He was always available to others, accessible, willing to be inconvenienced, yet remaining true to his mission to teach and to live out the kingdom of God. Now, by doing this, he won followers, and he made a practical difference in the lives of others. Think about that story in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus healed a man who was born blind. Now, Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and they came upon a blind man who was clamoring for Jesus' attention. Jesus does something that goes against conventional wisdom there. He stops unapologetically, he stops his trip, and he heals the blind man. He did so because he was willing to be interrupted and willing to be inconvenienced. Jesus' ultimate assignment was to make it to Jerusalem, to go to the cross, to die, resurrect for the sins of all. But along the way, he took time to do things like healing a man who was born blind as a way to make a difference in the life of someone else. We see a similar situation in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 11. Jesus and his disciples were making their way around the Galilee area, teaching and modeling the kingdom wherever they went, and they came across a very sad event for a family. It was a funeral procession. Now, Jesus could have just stopped and pulled over and paid his respects like many of us do when we see funerals in town, but instead, he remained on mission, and he thought, this is a great way to make a difference in the lives of this family. So he walked right into the funeral procession, looks to the family, and decides to raise the young man back to life. Now, it may not have been his original plan that day that I'm going to raise a dead person, but it became an opportunity and his objective to be a blessing and to help other people. Man, there's so many stories like that in the life and ministry of Jesus and the ministry of Peter and John and the Apostle Paul. That's actually a great way for you and I to live our lives, to live ready to make a difference. You see, Jesus always chose people over religion. People were his main priority, and Forrest was the same way. Nothing really would stop him from making a difference in the lives of others. Could you imagine if we were all to live that way, that we were always ready to make a difference and take opportunities to be a blessing to other people? See, we actually believe that is a big part of why you're here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each one of you has received a gift, right? And that's a talent, a skill, an ability. Use that gift to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces or gifts on our lives. Whoever speaks, speak as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves others, serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, so that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Like Jesus and like Forrest, our interactions with others can actually make a huge kingdom difference. We can give genuine hope and comfort to those we come into contact with. We can make a difference in the lives of others, whether it's serving on a dream team, being a blessing at work to your colleagues, letting others go ahead of you in line, hosting a life group, leading a small group, discipling a young adult. You and I can be difference makers, and we should be that way all the time. So the last thing I want us to look at in this film is how Forrest makes a difference not only in the relationships he has, but through the relationships that he has. So when Forrest joins the Army, it's right after he graduates from college. He's heading off to basic training, and he sits on the bus next to who would become his best friend, Bubba. As this scene unfolds, we immediately hear about Bubba's passion for shrimping.
Sit down if you want to.
I didn't know who I might meet or what they might ask.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
No, but I've been on a real big boat.
I'm talking about a shrimp catching boat. I've been working on shrimp boats all my life. I started out on my uncle's boat, that's my mama's brother, when I was about maybe 9. I was just looking into buying a boat of my own and got drafted. My given name is Benjamin Buford Blue. People call me Bubba, just like one of them old redneck boys. Can you believe that?
My name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump. So Bubba was from Bayou La Batre, Alabama, and his mama cooked shrimp. And her mama before her cooked shrimp. And her mama before her mama cooked shrimp, too. Bubba's family knew everything there was to know about the shrimping business.
I know everything there is to know about the shrimping business. Matter of fact, I'm going into the shrimping business for myself after I get out the Army.
Okay.
Anyway, like I was saying, Shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp. Shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
Hey, I bet they shrimp balls in these, boys. They tell me these Vietnams is good shrimp. After we win this war, we take over everything, we can get American shrimpers to come out here and shrimp these waters. Just shrimp all the time, man. So much shrimp.
Now, Bubba has obviously got a great passion for shrimp, right? And Forrest was able to not only encourage those passions, but he ends up partnering with Bubba in those areas of passion. Now, it may not have been something Forrest ever cared about or thought about before, but he loved his friend. And because he loved his friend, he loved what his friend loved. And it made them actually closer. They had decided to devote themselves to one another, and they made a commitment to be a blessing to each other.
Hi, Forrest.
Hey, Bubba.
I'm going to lean up against you. You just lean right back against me. This way, we don't have to sleep with our heads in the mud. You know why we a good partnership for us? Because we be watching out for one another, like brothers and stuff. Hey, Forrest, something I've been thinking about. I got a very important question to ask you. How would you like to go into the shrimping business with me?
Okay.
Man, I tell you what, I got it all figured out, too. So many pounds of shrimp to pay off the boat. So many pounds of gas. We can just live right on the boat. We ain't got to pay no rent. I'll be the captain. We can just work it together, split everything right down the middle. Man, I'm telling you, 50-50. And hey, Forrest, all the shrimp you can eat.
That's a fine idea. Bubba did have a fine idea.
Forrest and Bubba share one of the hardest realities of life that bring two people together. It's war. Many of you have experienced that same thing. And wartime is a place that a lot of people bond together and forge very strong friendships. Well, Forrest remains an encourager and committed both to Bubba and to Bubba's passion. Even after Bubba dies as a result of his battlefield injuries, Forrest, undeterred, continues Bubba's shrimp-catching legacy. Forrest ends up following through with their plan to buy a boat, start this business. Here's a theological point I want us to focus in on. Our tendency is to be like the world, to be selfish, self-focused, self-centered, to detach ourselves from others, to do our own thing. Other people can be hard to care about, hard to connect with, but part of loving God is loving people and committing ourselves to do life with them. I think it's so refreshing to have these types of people in our lives, people that stretch us and challenge us to do new things and to believe bigger about what God has for us. It's always rewarding to also be that type of person for others. Paul had an encouraging best friend named Barnabas. King David in the Old Testament had a great friend and a confidant named Jonathan. Jesus was close to Peter, to James, to John. All over the pages of Scripture, we are called to encourage one another, to love one another, to be others-focused. In Mark, Jesus says, be at peace with each other. In John, he said, love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with each other. Stop passing judgment on others. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Instruct and have equal concern for each other. Serve one another in love. Forrest was very much able to carry on the legacy and the passion of his best friend, Bubba. That's why we want you in groups. That's why we want you serving others on teams, because it allows you to carry on the passions that God has in others and to help make a difference for them through that relationship. Hey, the other relationship that I think is worth talking about and actually is one of the most beautiful pictures of God's grace and love towards us is the relationship between Forrest and the girl that he had a crush on forever, Jenny. So as we wrap this film, I want us to see Forrest's constant ability to be loving, to be patient, forgiving towards the character in the film that probably would have stressed most of us out, his childhood friend, Jenny. It's a long arc in this movie, actually, and it doesn't really resolve until the very end. But he has an unconditional love for Jenny. And to me, it's actually really impressive. He not only loves her, but he's constantly willing to keep an eye out for her, to look out for her, and to help her.
And then this one time, Jenny wasn't on the bus to go to school.
Jenny, why'd you come to school today?
Shh. Dad is taking a nap.
Jenny!
Come on!
Jenny! Where'd you run to? You better get back here, girl! Where you at? Jenny!
So I can fly far, far, far away from here. Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away from here.
Mama always said that God is mysterious.
Jenny!
He didn't turn Jenny into a bird that day. Instead, he had the police say Jenny didn't have to stay in that house no more. She went to live with a grandma just over on Creekmore Avenue, which made me happy because she was so close. Some nights, Jenny'd sneak out and come on over to my house just because she said she was scared. Scared of what? I don't know. But I think it was her grandma's dog. He was a mean dog.
Forrest had a beautiful commitment to Jenny, and he had an unconditional love toward her that would eventually inspire profound changes in her, but only after years of patience and commitment, and honestly, many times of hurt and disappointment. The Bible shows us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Despite the serious character flaws in Jenny's life, Forrest was always there. He was always the one she'd return to. In several pivotal moments in the movie, Forrest unconditionally extends safety and security and shelter for her. He does it with no ulterior motives, no thoughts for himself. Forrest does his best to make Jenny feel safe, not feel guilt or shame, just love. His consistent actions would eventually allow for Jenny to fall back in love with him. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says that God has a love for us that is everlasting, that's consistent, never changing, never goes away. After multiple cycles of repeating her rescuing and Jenny always returning to her personal chaos, Forrest finally grows in his love for her to confront her.
Will you marry me? I'd make a good husband, Jenny.
You would, Forrest.
But you won't marry me.
You don't want to marry me.
Why don't you love me, Jenny? I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
By this time in the film, we want Jenny to change. And honestly, Forrest did such a great job of just unconditionally loving her. He never gave up on her. And he said, "I don't know a lot, but I know what love is." And that's what motivated his interactions with her over and over again. And by the end of the story, we see that it finally brought change in her lives. You know, as we finish this film, I think there's so many things that we can learn from Forrest about how we can be. We need to learn from wise counsel. We can always live to make a difference. We can serve others without wanting anything on our own. But one of the greatest things from this film is the way Forrest loves Jenny. And honestly, we should learn to love people that way, but that's actually how God loves you and loves me. See, his love is without condition, and it never stops. It never goes away. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about this great love that God has for us, that it's patient, it's kind, it never holds records of wrongs, it always endures, it believes all things for us. And that's the way God loves us. The way that Forrest loved Jenny is just a small picture of how God loves you and God loves me. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, It says nothing in the world, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor demons, nor thing present, things to come. Nothing, nothing, nothing can ever separate us from the love that God has for us. You know, it's interesting, as we watched this film, it seemed like nothing Jenny did would ever push Forrest so far away that he'd stop loving her. And again, that's just a small version of the great love that God has for you and me. I challenged our students recently from that text in Romans chapter 8, and I said, if nothing in the whole world, nothing in the universe, nothing you can do, nothing you can say would ever separate you from God's love to you, why is it that we would allow things in our lives, circumstances in our lives, conditions of what we're doing, ever come between and separate God from our love for him? You know, when I think about this movie, there's so many great parts of Forrest Gump, the ways that we can learn from those that have gone ahead of us, the way we can serve other people. But I love seeing modeled this love that God has for us, and nothing will separate us from it. And I don't know what you're dealing with today in terms of your relationship with Jesus. Let me just say to those of you that are following the Lord, I want you to grow in wisdom. I want you to grow in listening to others that have led the way in areas of your life ahead of you. Maybe it's a platoon leader or a pastor or a small group leader or somebody who just knows some things that you need to learn from. To the rest of us, I want to say too, listen, we need to be difference makers all the time. Always be willing to be inconvenienced and to make a difference in the lives of other people. But how are you doing with receiving the love that God has for you? Maybe you think you're disqualified from God's love. Maybe you think you've done some things that he'll never forgive. Can I just tell you, nothing you've ever done will push God away from you. And so, I think nothing you've ever done should ever push you away from him. Today, as we wrap this message and we wrap this whole series, our greatest passion for you is to know God. Our greatest desire is that you'd know God intimately and personally. And for some of you, you've got some gaps there. You've got some issues that are pushing you away. And I just want to ask you to repent of those things right now. Lay those things down and let the love of God flood into your life. Learn what his forgiveness feels like. Learn what his presence in your life is all about. And let God have his way in bringing healing and comfort to you. Here's what I know. In the same way that Forrest's love ultimately brought life change for Jenny, the unconditional, never leaving love that God has for you is what will ultimately change your life. He loves you so much that he literally came to this earth to give his life, to pay for your sin, to resurrect so that death will never have any power over your life, and to give you eternal life with him forever. I want to close this in a moment of prayer, and then our campus pastors are going to come and close us out with some next steps for you. But listen, maybe you're ready to take that next step of being a difference maker. You're ready to get on a team. You're ready to find ways that you can serve other people. The greatest thing that you can do as we finish this series is go all in with Jesus, give your life to him, receive the love that he has for you, and let God change your life. Hey, let's pray together. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for what you are speaking to us and teaching us through these amazing stories, these movies. Lord, I thank you that you love us unconditionally. I thank you, God, that we can be difference makers. I thank you, Lord, that we can learn from the lives of people that have gone ahead of us, who know a little bit more than us, who have wise counsel to give us. God, I'm thankful that we can learn to love people without condition. We can learn to serve them and to bear their passions and to make their lives better by serving them well. Lord, I'm most thankful that your love for us never leaves. God, I thank you in Psalm 23, your word says, the goodness and mercy of God will pursue us all the days of our lives. So God, I pray for every person who's listening that maybe feels disqualified from the love of God. Maybe they feel like they've done some things that can never be forgiven or repaired or replaced by the love of Jesus. God, I pray today that they would know that you love them unconditionally and that it would absolutely change their lives. We say at LifePoint, anybody's welcome to have their lives wrecked and changed and transformed by Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that the love of God would change our lives today. Hey, would you all pray this with me, everybody together? Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me so that I can live for him for the rest of my life. Say, I confess my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. I receive your salvation, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.